I'll be reading, I think, four poems from The Marriage of the Moon and the Field. And this is a book that deals a lot with, as the title might suggest, sort of a marriage of dark and light. And that place in between that can be kind of a strange place where I think we spend a lot of our lives. And also maybe the marriage between this physical world and the other world, the world that we don't see, that has a life of its own as well. So this first poem is called Smoke Signals. It starts like this. Evening, a boy in a dorm room calls home. He's casual, but with each joke, he pulls the looping phone cord closer, trying to shorten the distance between himself and the old life. On the other end, his mother, in her tasteful makeup and cream-colored suburban home, knows it. The way she knows there's a God and asks him what's wrong. It's an old AT&T ad, and the music starts. When the people you love come through loud and clear, a man says, and you want to cry. You want to sleep inside that moment and believe, as Machado says, that we are good in the good sense of the word. Reach out and touch someone. My father called home the night he shipped out for Vietnam. He'd signed up to camp and fight and sleep under the stars, but he couldn't say that to his mother. Instead, he said nothing. She traded "we love you" for "okay." 14 months in the jungle of regret. We all feel bad. We're all heartsick sometimes. Strangers in the architecture and burning incense at the temples. The names of ancestors and calligraphies of smoke we can't read. Aunt Peggy shipped my father cigarettes, though she thought they were bad for his health. He smoked them at sunrise before the shooting started, sent the smoke up like a signal that was neither loud nor clear. The next one is a little bit of a long poem, and it has different sections, so I'll just read the number of each section along with it. And then it has a little epigraph. It's called Approaching the Threshold. And there's a little reference to a door in each section. Dr. Alejandro Hernandez Cardenas took a scorched-looking decomposed head and five stiff, bloated hands and gently submerged them in his secret solution. After they soak for 3 days, he said, any scars, lesions, or birthmarks the victim might have had will reappear. His technique, normally applied to full bodies, can restore murder and identity clues. This is from Doctor's Bath for Corpses Reinvigorates Cold Cases, The New York Times, Tuesday, October 15th, 2012. 1. He started with Gerber jars filled with cloudy fluid and teeth. Now a mummified head waits on a table while in a tub, whole bodies soak, jacuzzi-like. The women of Juarez are salvaged like junkyard parts from the desert. Parts they never found, nipples, some toes, fingers severed at the knuckle. They're brought here in bags, submerged until they talk. Birthmarks blotchy as stains, bleeding back. Highways of the palm resurfacing. Mothers and lovers come to read them like fortunes. Message in a body, a door unlocking. 2. My 6-year-old reads of monsters and mythology. Sea beast curls over ships sailing into blue, and a woman with snakes for hair, how does she comb it? Kisses gorgons, and a girl trapped in the underworld spins, eats pomegranates, chews her nails. Was it hard to get out, even when it was time? Did she climb underground volcanoes, swim up the whole ocean, dodge the sea beast, and pull herself fingernail by shoulder onto shore? Or was there a door? 3. When planes go down over the ocean and people search for the black box that sings ping, 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 like a submarine, who is searching for the door to the room the lost entered, like a party they'd always heard pulsing and were finally let in? 4. On the stereo, he plays ballads, love songs, woos and comforts dead women in a den of puce liquids and glycerin. I take many girls to bed, he jokes, holding their bodies at night, but not the way you think. He carries them to the bath, the way a man carries his bride over the threshold. Slowly, the women return to a state of origin, like Pangaea on a screen in fourth grade geography, the parts moving back into place. 5. On our tour of Lake Union, in a bus that turns into a boat, we watch the rows of floating houses sway a little. I wonder if the doors swell, if stepping from boat to doorstep is tricky, or do you leap? We stop for photos in front of a yellow house owned by a TV star. He hosts a game show the old people at my Oma's rest home watched. They would drift forward in their wheelchairs, swollen and tired, staring at the red curtain, waiting for that moment when all the prizes are unveiled. 6. My son reads Choose Your Own Adventure. In one called Mystery of the Maya, someone kidnaps a girl, hides her in a temple of ruins. You have to find her. You have to save her from the men in masks. Every moment counts, every turn a different door. 7. In Juarez, a man lifts pieces of a woman from a bathtub, brings her back to the night it happened. She waited for the green bus to take her to work in Maquiladora. All around her, women, thin frames, long dark hair, just like her, a hall of mirrors, the green bus, the edge of night, and all the women stepping on. The next one is about a little church my husband and I found in Vienna and some people that we met there. It's called St. Francis of Assisi Church, Vienna. This church is a man with dirt in his toes and rosy cheeks. A man who whistles, carries a satchel with a few scraps of food, waves to strangers. And here in the Mexican Quarter, the locals call him Jubilee, the happiest of saints. We have sailed through beer and wine and castle country and have come to something new. The Danube dark and still, the sturgeon moon rising over a street lamp, and a picnic table where two men and two women in burkas drink tea. In a park marked by a chain link fence, their children play. We have stepped out of a postcard and into the real, a family, a moment with the day's last tea and bread. St. Francis is tired and snores in the dark, and the black robes of the Syrian women sweep the ground around him. We breathe in the evening air, as human as we'll ever be. Parents lift small cups to their faces. Children play. From a bench, my husband and I watch. Back home in their country, there is smoke and rubble. Our country is strip malls, vending machines, the toxic light of the evening news telling us how to feel. In the story, all the creatures of the earth come to St. Francis. The birds sing on his shoulders, and the rabbits gather at the foot of his robe. He is cloaked in the gold of their animal love. Tonight, even the sturgeon comes, that primitive fish swimming in the clouds. As we stand up to go, one of the men reaches out, waves us over with a cup in his hand. Come, he says, please, and motions toward the table where his wife rises to meet us and puts out her small hand over the fence. Her face is a moon shrouded in dusk, and her son is the size of our youngest. The man is learning German, comes from Damascus. 2 years in this country studying, this country good to us. Country of saints and Ave Maria, of city parks green under the moonlight, of bread and pastries and paintings in domed buildings. St. Francis is the moth beating his heart against the bulb of the street lamp, the red-roofed church, the shadowed grass where we step towards strangers, hold out our hands. And the last poem is, I guess, a celebration of that marriage of light and dark and this life and the next life at home. It's called At Last the Light in the Trees Wavers and moves on like an old woman turning away from the mirror. Everything dims. Now the lamp is master. November and the rake face down in a pile of leaves is like a kid playing dead, the stick of his back staying perfectly still. And at night in our bed, the bird of me returns to the tree of you. All we've shed, leaves and feathers on the floor. The dark and your limbs draw me in. I'll sing now in my little house of bones. Thank you.